Aonde?
How
Here we
about
go.
now?
Oh, there it is. There it is. There it is.
Can
I
you
think
guys
people can hear us.
hear?
Give us a shout out, guys. Can you hear us in the chat? Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Yes. All right, guys. Let's really get started. Wow, that's gonna sound really loud when people go back to hear that in the audio
Whoa.
podcast. They're gonna be like, hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Bella.
And I'm Linda.
Before we get started, guys, please, if you're in the chat, like this video, help us get into the algorithm, post it on your pages, tell people to come in here and get the cheese on DeSantis and some other things we're going to be talking about tonight. Per usual, Mostly Peaceful Latinas is self-funded, no Illuminati, no
No
lizard
lizard
people,
people.
just our amazing sponsors. Want to start off by giving a shout out to Century H2O, the first brand to believe in us. Still doing great things all around the country, particularly in East Palestine, where their efforts are still ongoing. In fact, they recently got results back of testing the waters. They sent me the results, but I'll be honest with you guys, I'm not a scientist. So I'm going to have to break that down with them.
But
But
with
they
that being
do.
said, if you guys are looking for an affordable and easy to install under the water sink, especially if you live in an apartment like I do, this is the perfect system. She lives in a house. She also uses it, so you could it
Gives
could be
me
a
all my
house.
counter space so it doesn't take up any space on my counter, which
Absolutely.
is the best part.
For less than $300, you can get a water filtration system that is going to take out the lead, all of the toxins in the
The
water that makes
carcinogens.
the carcinogens. What's the other one that's really bad? Chloride,
The
atrazine.
atrazine. Very important for the atrazine for all our alphas and our sigmas in the chat. Gotta get the atrazine out of the water. We're really proud to be involved with the brand. And guys, health is just so important, and everybody's thinking about what it is that we're putting into our bodies. If you're already reading the labels in the back of the foods that you're consuming, you want to make sure that you're drinking something that's healthy too. And Century H2O is a great way of doing that while also maintaining affordable, very little space taken up in your kitchen, and also very easy to set up. And they're patriots and they support us, so why wouldn't you support them?
Made in the USA, baby. So we have
So
a
to them.
great show today.
Yes,
We
don't forget to
have,
use MPL10 at centuryh2o.com.
yes,
We have a fun show today.
we have a fun show. We're gonna talk a little bit about what's been going on the Twitter wars and with Governor DeSantis and his AstroTurf campaign, which everything is pretty fake and gay. This is something that we've covered extensively in the past, probably
6 months.
six. Well, if you think about it, it's
Longer.
longer 'cause it's
9 months.
November, December. So 8 months we have been covering Governor DeSantis. We've had a lot of backlash from our own people. We've had to block people on my Wake Up Alinda, our Mostly Peaceful account, Twitter, everywhere else, because of the truth. Because people who call us cultists because we support Donald Trump don't want to hear the truth about this very fake campaign, which is actually blowing up. Like, it's self-imploding right now. One of the things that we're going to talk about is they got caught with some of these anon anonymous accounts on Twitter. We've told you guys about this for a very long time, and I guess other people, actually Laura Loomer is the one that was able to track down an account that we'll share with you guys. We're also going to talk about how recently in Iowa, a DeSantis super PAC was caught busing in people to the rally.
Shocking
Shocking.
to everyone except us.
Literally. We are also going to talk about, what's the other thing?
Oh, we've got Ice Cube saying some
We
really
got
controversial
Ice Cube
things.
saying some controversial stuff. We are going to talk about some of the Manosphere guys. I got some funny things that happened at the Whatever podcast and a few more things. So,
But let's go ahead. I want to take a moment to pray for our girl, Reyna. Reyna, who is a supporter of our show and is always so faithful every week watching with us, is asking for prayers for her family. So, Heavenly Father, we do come to you today and ask that you please place your hands and your grace over Reyna's family as they go through hard times right now. Linda and I will pray for you,
absolutely.
Reyna, and we ask that everybody in the chat, if you get an opportunity to do so, that you also keep Reyna and her family in your prayers as they go through these difficult, life-changing times. But all our love Amen, Reina. Thank you. We love you. Thank you for being here. Yeah. And thank you for requesting our prayers. And we really appreciate your support all the time.
Yes, Reina.
A shout out to our boy, Adam, in the comments who started off.
What do you say?
He says, all aboard the MPL train where the lies of the DeSimps, lizard people, and whoever is trying to fence Linda's handbags are exposed. Thank you, ladies, for all you do. Much love as always. Adam, we love you so much. Thank you for continuously supporting us and putting a smile in our face. No matter how many trolls we get, we'll deal with hundreds of them just to have a supporter like you. So yes, I appreciate you, Adam.
Absolutely.
And we have another contribution around here from Miss Arias and Arias Adventures, where they say, you two are the most base Latinas out there. Well, thank you. We actually happen to think so too.
We think that too. Although a lot of people don't like us.
You know, probably because we lack humility. Could that be it? I'm sorry. We put up a lot of shit.
Probably because I'm a big troll and I'm always dumping on everybody on Twitter.
You're a bigger troll than I am, I think.
Also, that because you don't have access to Twitter right now.
Yeah, that might be it. I don't have access to anything.
Is that fair to say?
Is it? I'm apparently the most banned person on social media. Thank you, Billy Corbin.
It used to be Laura Loomer. It's not Laura Loomer anymore. It's Bella. She's more banned than the Taliban.
I'm more banned.
The Taliban is allowed to be on Twitter. Bella is still not on Twitter. So we're going to start a free Bella on Twitter campaign next week. Because I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Twitter. They still have a letter back.
It's like there's cannibals on there. There's like, you know, pornographers. There's all sorts of crazy people on Twitter. But not me, guys.
Not her. So we don't know really if I'm a bigger troll or she's a bigger troll because there's no comparison.
There truly isn't. Like, I really haven't had an opportunity to really showcase my trollage.
Right.
I do a little trolling on Truth Social, but, you know, getting my engines revved up until I'm allowed back on some platform. At some point, it's going to have to happen. Linda isn't just a bigger troll. She's the best troll that ever existed. I'm not, you know what? No argument from me whatsoever. I happen to agree. She's amazing. Guys, all right. So let's start off with the biggest I told you so's, because humidity aside,
for real,
we were right. 4 months, we've been telling you guys about how there is an AstroTurf campaign happening on Twitter by DeSantis's camp. And we've told you guys that this includes troll accounts that are clearly burners of people within his own administration, AI bots, a significant number of resources, anonymous resources, if you will, that are helping create this idea that DeSantis is in an equal playing field with Donald Trump. And there is one account by the name of Max Nerdeau.
And actually, she has it right there. Let's take a look at it.
This little image up here first of our buds. So. Of our buds, you've probably seen this guy somewhere in Twitter sphere over on the right. He usually has really disgusting things to say about Trump, but more importantly, Trump supporters. This account was actually, you know, a couple of months ago when Donald Trump fought back on Truth Social and said that it would be a shame if somebody started calling Ron DeSantis a groomer. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people don't realize is that was a direct response to this AstroTurf campaign that for weeks prior to that comment by Donald Trump had actually been sharing old pictures of Donald Trump with Jeffrey Epstein to bring back the tired ass narrative of 2020. Yep. That Donald Trump was somehow connected to Jeffrey Epstein, completely ignoring the longevity of their relationship, how it ended, Trump going to the FBI and giving testimony about him being a creep before the first arrest when nobody would talk to him, how he banned Jeffrey Epstein out of all of his properties, how Trump they'll say that Trump was on the flight logs. Yes, from one flight from Palm Beach to New Jersey that he took with his wife and his daughter, never on the island. But of course, the DeSantis know what the low-hanging fruit as far as low blows can go to Donald Trump. So they had actually spent several weeks pushing this narrative when Donald Trump fights back. Anyways, the great, magnificent, skinny legend, Laura Loomer, did some schizophrenic anon work Did she not?
She did.
And basically was able to piece together a great thread showcasing all of the slip-ups that Mark's account had had, exposing him as Ron DeSantis's communications guy.
So
Brian,
so basically we spoke to Loomer yesterday. I tried to get her on the show, but she's busy. I was just trying to ask her if she could come. But this account has been around for a while. It just didn't pop up like now or in 2022. It's actually been around since like 2021. If you go down their tweets from 2021, you're going to see that they were very pro-vaccine around the time that DeSantis was pushing or promoting the vaccine. They were pro-lockdown. So they're basically for everything that they claim to be against right now. As you guys know, they've tried to make the entire DeSantis campaign about the COVID lockdowns, and he didn't push the vaccine, and Donald Trump is the father of the vaccine. Well, this account right here was actually telling people, go get vaccinated. You guys are crazy. The vaccine works. I got vaccinated hundreds of thousands of times. Now, of course, and actually yesterday he was tweeting once again, here's Donald Trump saying that he's the father of the vaccine. Just yesterday. Okay. So what ended up happening was that they started leaving clues, and they weren't actually very bright with erasing their digital tracks, if you want to, if you will say it. And Laura Loomer, along with other people, started comparing not only their tweets, patterns of behavior, information that an anonymous account knew that really they shouldn't know because they're an anonymous account, including access to press. So all of a sudden, this account is actually telling reporters to correct certain articles when why would a reporter, why would a media outlet care what an anonymous account? Is that a Family Guy character? It is a Family Guy character, right?
I believe so.
Family Guy character. Right. So why would anybody really care about that account? So they put it together. She put it on a thread. She also got an audio because this account has actually done spaces on Twitter, which is where you can hear people's voices. And then she got an audio of Brian Griffin, who's part of the communications team of Governor DeSantis. Now, Laura Loomer isn't the first person to talk about.
I just thought about that. That's kind of like an ode to, isn't the main guy from Family Guy Peter Griffin? And then he uses his a character. Mm-hmm. Like he thought he was being sick. But then you put all these little pieces together and they're like, you're just being a schizophrenic. And it's like, actually.
Mm-hmm. So wait, Family Guy's Avatar and the man's name is Brian Griffin. Yeah, correct. Correct. They just talked about it. Yeah, that's literally what it is.
I don't know. That seems kind of ironic. Almost like he's letting people know.
The dog's name is Brian Griffin. Brian is the dog in the Family Guy. That's what it is. Brian's the dog is a super liberal. So they recorded the Anon account's voice through spaces. Mm-hmm. And then they went back to see if Brian Griffin, DeSantis's press secretary, had any videos where they could also hear his voice. They found these videos. I think it was like when he was in college and he was debating. There's a lot of background noise, so it sounds a little bit different than Spaces, but it's basically the same exact voice.
It's him, bro.
It's him. And then there's a lot more that Laura Loomer discovered, including like a kombucha. So here's the other thing too. You guys have seen how DeSantis is allegedly fighting Disney and he's beating Disney. Well, we just found out that Brian Griffin, Governor DeSantis's communications team director, whatever he is, he actually owns a kombucha company called, forgot the name right now, but the kombucha company, actually, they actually made a deal with Disney, and Disney is selling the kombucha inside of their parks. And there's no denying it. There's no Laura Loomer's crazy. Stop listening to Laura Loomer, which is what they want us to do. Mm-hmm. Your first mistake is listening to Laura Loomer. So the kombucha's name, forgot what the name is. You guys can look it up. But the point is that Governor DeSantis and actually Casey DeSantis, the first lady, they actually visited the kombucha place last year and took a picture at the place. Hold on. Here it is. Okay. Flower Crown Kombucha is a Disney World. And this is June 9th of 2022, way after the fight with Disney started. And it says, we love seeing you in pictures. Here we have our delicious key lime mojito kombucha at Disney World. What's your favorite flavor?
What's the name of the kombucha so we can
Flower Crown Kombucha.
Flower Crown Kombucha.
And
that sounds like some real liberal shit.
And then on February 26th of this year, I wish I would have given you those pictures to put it. We have Casey DeSantis, and she has a picture. I mean, you guys can see it. And she says, enjoy visiting Tampa's first kombucha tap room, Flower Crown Kombucha. Be sure to visit and try a delicious glass of this healthy beverage option. Folks, how are we fighting Disney? How is Team DeSantis fighting Disney if they're also asking Disney to take in their products? Enable for Disney to buy these products. You have to meet with a buyer. You have to make a deal. Just getting that contact with the buyer of Disney as a company, if you're not obviously like Corona or Bud Light, who already has a distributor Correct. That sells to Disney, if you're a small ass brand, let's say tomorrow you started a brewery and you started brewing out of Wimbledon, you're going to have a very tough time getting that beer, that kombucha, that water into Walt Disney World, unless, of course, you have connections. And who better to have connections than our governor?
Or you're holding something over the company's head. Like, how are you involved in this very legal, public, legal fight? And then your staff members are just getting favors from Disney?
But that's what I mean. Who better to have a connection to Disney than the governor's team himself, who are still pretending that they're fighting Disney? So
I feel like I've heard that before. I feel like there's two Latinas from Miami that maybe don't shut up about the PR stunts right. that act like they're going to save America, but in reality, they don't even have an outcome. I don't know. I feel like I've heard that before. It's almost like if we've been telling you guys for a while that the entire Disney thing is a facade. DeSantis used this Disney situation to put in his people into the board at Disney. Like, right. clearly there's a long-term picture here with the war on Disney where one almost has to wonder, is the idea like, have this very public fight with me now and then later X, Y, Z is what you can expect to gain from it. I don't know. All speculation, of course. But one does have to wonder.
Well, since Laura Loomer outed Brian Griffin for being tied to this account, a few things have happened. The first thing is that the account, the Anon account, completely closed down. They actually went private for a little bit. So the account owner got scared. And they went private. When people started posting, hey, why did you go private? They opened the account again and started trolling Trump supporters. But that didn't end there. Then Christina Pusha, who's DeSantis' main propagandist, we've talked about her before. We should have probably put a picture next time. We'll put her face.
We have a picture of all of them.
Yeah, we should put them in a little bit. Hold on. Then Christina Pusha called Red State Media, which is a fake media publication working for Ron DeSantis with another Anon reporter called Bonchi. Nobody knows who the guy is, but he writes articles and you're supposed to take him seriously, by the way. Nobody knows, we don't know his name, okay? And they basically almost immediately released an article saying like, this is just an attack.
Failed
docs. This is just a failed docs. This failed is just docs. An attack. Christina's like, this is an attack on my coworker because he's so effective and da da da. It's like, no, it's not. There's no attack. There's no smear campaign at all. And he didn't deny any of the allegations or correct Laura Loomer.
No, he just called her crazy.
So it's like a few weeks ago when I told you guys that a Vice News reporter was trying to get information out of me And I was like, well, this is wrong. Here's a date. Here's proof. Right. Here's proof. Because they're lying. So you can actually rebuttal what they're saying. He's not trying to do that because they got caught. And today, more evidence came out.
It's worth noting that anybody who's paying attention on Twitter knew that that account was being run by somebody
on
the census team. Like, that wasn't a secret. Like, it's, they could deny it. I mean, clearly, it's one of those things where, like, the deep state isn't exactly leaving a freaking paper trail of, like, oh, so-and-so took over this account. But this hasn't been a secret. People that have been paying attention knew that this account was being run by somebody on Ron DeSantis's communication team. Because nobody has that much free time to... We are... unapologetically Trump cultists. Right. And we do not have that amount of time to guard a narrative and be careful that it doesn't shift in support of or whatever. It was very obvious that somebody that's getting paid to do this full time, night and day.
Right.
So when you find then pretty clear proof that out of anybody that it could have been, it's not like it's like some random person that DeSantis knew and went to a dinner one time, that it's DeSantis's communication guy, while at the same time, for months, it's also been speculated that it has to be somebody in DeSantis's communication team. Mm-hmm. Like, let it go. You got caught. The problem is you can't admit that you got caught because you understand that it's illegal.
Imagine. It's not only illegal. I mean, the person has doxed a few people as well.
Correct.
It's not only that. And he's super, super nasty to Trump supporters. Like even today, he was still running with the lie that Alex Bershowitz, owner of X Strategies, is paid $35,000 to be a Trump surrogate. That's not true at all. But they continue with the lie.
Here's my issue with it. And I had this fight with somebody that was like, oh, you're going to continue to believe 35K Alex Bershowitz.
Even if it was.
They attacked Alex Bershowitz after it went through. Some nerd on fucking Truth Social. But here's the thing. That came out as a response when it came out that the Babylon Bee had been paid money by the DeSantis campaign. Right. That what other, there was another publication.
Daily Wire.
That the Daily Wire had been paid by the DeSantis campaign.
And in Florida response, Voice. Florida Voice.
Has that come out as, that they also pay them? Like, we've seen the financial proof.
No.
But I remember that it was at that moment when the proof comes out, also Loomer, God bless her. When the truth comes out that the Babylon Bee and the Daily Wire were both getting paid, immediately they turned around and they found that Alex Bershowitz had been paid $35,000 by the Trump campaign in early 2020, 2016, whatever. Here's the thing. He could have paid him $100,000 and here's why it doesn't fucking matter. Alex Bershowitz owns a political strategy company. That is very much his job. Politicians pay him. It's not some kind of freaking red flag. Like, oh, we found the smoking gun. No, you didn't. If they pay Alex Bershowitz to do work for him, then Alex Bershowitz can do that. Our question, which is the one that you're ignoring by bringing the heat onto Alex Bershowitz, is why is the DeSantis campaign paying media surrogates? Which isn't the same thing as somebody who's giving political strategy. Obviously.
Wait, and also, do we forget to mention that it's not just that they're paying media, it's that they're also creating media. Will Witt was literally tapped by the DeSantis team and his donors to start Florida Voice News, not Florida Voice, Florida Standard, to run a propaganda machine for DeSantis. So whenever they have press conference, just like Joe Biden, you guys have seen that Joe Biden has like a little paper that tells him like, pick on that girl, pick on the Washington Post, pick on Fox or whatever, CNN. DeSantis does the same exact thing. They only let him respond to questions that have been already whatever you want to call it, and given to the reporters.
With the answers that he has rehearsed.
Correct. With the answers that he has rehearsed. Exactly. So it's not just that they're paying influencers, or a lot of times they don't really play. They just give them access
let me say one thing about that. Steve DC said on Twitter today that he knows for a fact that DeSantis camp doesn't pay any influencers. Well, no, of course Steve can say that.
Well, because
it's the PACs that pay the influencers. So DeSantis can keep his hands clean and be like, well, I'm not paying anybody. That's not what I fucking asked you. The reality is your camp paying somebody whether or not it's through a surrogacy? And it is what's happening. Because we know for a fact that there are people that we haven't talked about that do get paid by these DeSantis
right.
PACs.
Right.
So DeSantis could keep his hands clean. You guys got to think about it. DeSantis have never been running a presidential shadow campaign while he was still governor. The rules that allowed him to run were only changed a couple of weeks ago in reality. Yeah. So all of these efforts that he was doing had to be kept under dark logs, paid off by PACs, so, because he couldn't prove. This is why the Brian Griffin thing is such a big deal, because then that means that this anonymous account was doing work for his presidential campaign while being on the governmental budget.
Correct.
Which cannot be done. It is illegal. And that's why they can't admit to the fact that they got caught right now, because it's quite literally a matter of life or death for them because they're not supposed to do that. It's illegal.
Right. So something else that's very interesting, and I don't know if you guys remember the crazy story of Rebecca Jones. Rebecca Jones was very her story came out during the pandemic, where she apparently was I think working behind the scenes. There she is. Don't remove this yet, though.
No. Okay. I know
so, that we're gonna so basically, Rebecca Jones was like this crazy woman that worked for the Florida Department of Health, and apparently she was doing something illegal with the numbers, or you know, she basically was saying that the governor, I think, was cooking the books, and saying that there was less cases of COVID and death than they were supposed to. Long story short is that she ended up actually getting raided by the FBI and agents because of the shady shit that she was doing, and she got in a lot of trouble. So we certainly don't, we're not on the side of this woman, even though that's what the Sims are saying on Twitter, because they're assholes and dumbasses. But anyways, Rebecca Jones entered the picture again this year, very recently, actually in April, because her son, who apparently is autistic, made a threat on social media and said that he wanted to shoot up a school or a building full of people. Obviously, those threats do not go in vain, and the federal authorities and state authorities got a hold of it. She was on vacation, but she had to turn in her son to the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. This is actually the account, Max Nardo, the one that it's tied to the DeSantis campaign. But for some reason, Max Nardo had the video footage on April 6th of Rebecca Jones turning in her child to the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Department. Now, how do you get that? That is public records. Anybody can actually request it. But somehow Max was the first person to have this, or one of the first people to have this video. Okay. So Rebecca goes on Twitter and says that she knows for a fact, and she actually posted a screenshot. We could see it next. That she asked the sheriff's office, like, how did this person get a hold of, how did they get a hold of this video, or who has this video? And the people that actually have this video, you could see it right here. This is actually it says Redfern Jeremy. Redfern Jeremy is actually the DeSantis's press secretary. And he says, hey, Adam, thanks for your help today. And thank you, Sheriff Johnson, for setting the record straight. I don't think we need any further footage. Great work on possibly preventing another tragedy. Very much appreciated. So
what the most important part about this shot right here, which is what you guys want to take a look at, is the date and the time at which that is sent. Basically, right here, there's a thank you for some footage that was collected, because it's clearly stating, I don't think we need any further footage. Right. So there was already some footage shared. If you look at the date on this, you're going to see April 26th at 4:23. And then we want to bring your attention back over here to our boy Max Nardo, 4:23, 4:24 p.m. Am I taking crazy pills?
I don't know. You guys tell us in the chat.
You guys tell me, because they're saying, oh, well, this is public knowledge. It was already available in the media, had already covered it. They hadn't. The media had already covered it, and that's how they got it. Bro, explain that time lapse for me, please, fam. 4:24. They send this email thanking homie over here at 4:23.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And then you put it all together. And it's so crazy because for those of you who haven't had an opportunity to check it out, mm-hmm. go to exposemiami.com. We did a very thorough investigation last year where we were able to expose. Oh,
no, please.
I wasn't expecting that to pop up. We did a very thorough investigation that you guys can read at exposemiami.com, where we were able to track behavior patterns using background checks and tweets and things like that to be able to confirm who we thought was behind this Miami Antifa page that has been harassing conservatives in Miami-Dade for the last 2 years. And what we were able to find is exactly who we thought it was, which was the PR firm that represented members of the school board and the teachers union, was in fact through these behaviors linked. Now, like I told you, it's really hard. We're never going to find a contract that says so-and-so is working with so-and-so running this account. So this is what we have. So you got to be able to use common sense. We've got, I just want to bring it up one more time. One more time because it's important. We've got DeSantis's press secretary thanking the sheriff's office for their footage. Thank you. I don't think we need any more footage. On Thursday, April 6th at 4:23 p.m. Literally less than a minute later. This account that speculated to be ran by DeSantis' communication guy posts the footage, bro. But they'll go online and they'll tell you, I can't believe you're listening to crazy ass Loomer and 35K Bershowitz. Yes, I am. Because they have more sense than you.
Yeah.
And please, if you guys can please stop being corny as fuck and sharing a picture of Loomer from a Halloween party 100 years ago to try and discredit everything that she said, that would be great. That would be great because it's freaking annoying. Anyways, this is a really huge deal, guys. Well,
can I just say something quick? This was actually what happened when Laura Loomer exposed the Babylon Bee. And it actually happened to me, too, when I exposed it on my Instagram, where I had people attack me and attack her for showing receipts. So we complain. Conservatives complain about we have no media. We have no real journalism. Everyone's fake news. Everyone is a propagandist. But when regular Americans, when independent journalists like Laura Loomer, like ourselves, go into detective mode and we start posting screenshots, which are real, they get upset about it and want to...
Now I'm a crazy flat earther. Now everything I say doesn't make any sense because you just got caught exposing yourself.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, when, you know how I know they're lying too about the Babylon Bee, because very recently when that came up again, maybe like 3 weeks ago, the guy, the owner of the Babylon Bee said that they were, that they had sold them their email list. He said it on Twitter. I took a screenshot, but he told me via DMs that it was because they were helping DeSantis with his speech writing.
Email list? Because that's what the Daily Wire said. The Daily Wire said that it was for the email list. And then I thought the Babylon Bee had only said that it was for speech writing.
No, so that's where he messed up. He told me via DM it was for speech writing. But he told Twitter World that they sell advertising, also email lists for all candidates, including DeSantis and Trump. So
which is it, bro? They really just think you're stupid. Like, again, and it's the gaslighting for me because they'll be under the comments and they'll be like, you're really going to believe crazy Loomer? First of all, you're writing to me from a page with a cartoon frog as your avatar.
Right.
First of all, Laura Loomer puts her life on the line every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, I forget sometimes how young she is and how much she's had to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, what did she have to sacrifice? Laura Loomer can't even open up a fucking bank account.
Well, you know, somebody mentioned, I am too disappointed. She goes, I was disappointed that Trump caved and didn't hire Laura Loomer. Honestly, me too. I think Loomer would have been the best person on his team. But the problem is Marjorie Taylor Greene, which Loomer has been exposing her for a very long time, and she's right about Marjorie Taylor Greene, and people are finally seeing the light. Mm-hmm. She's also right about Kevin McCarthy. Nobody wants to talk about Kevin McCarthy. I've actually told Trump people how Kevin McCarthy is shady based on mega donors who have told me themselves here in Miami that they've had private dinners with Kevin McCarthy and that he actually supports DeSantis and not Trump. But Trump, you got to understand something. There is a lot of people that are genuinely just naive that are around Trump. It's not always that they're vicious or malicious. It's that they don't have the foresight that other people do. So when you tell them things ahead of time, like Loomer, then we seem crazy. Does that make sense? Can you put up our friends that you just pulled
up? Yes, no. I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk, but...
I mean, this is
guys. They're not sending their best.
We got, bro. This is actually like I have to read the tweet that came with this because you guys are gonna die laughing. Like I have it right here. Hold on. You guys are gonna die laughing. So this tweet goes like this. The person that tweeted this, by the way, this is going viral. This little tweet right here, and it goes like this. Let me get this fucking shit straight for one hot second. You're telling me that someone said, let's put together one, a gay guy who, a gay twink who brews kombucha for Disney. Two, a Ukrainian foreign agent with a Brazilian butt lift on her face. Three, a censored manic depressive lawyer who is unable to fight a parking ticket. Four, a self-absorbed dude who scams people on GoFundMe and changes his hair color every week. Talking about Bill Mitchell. Five, a Malaysian grifter with the shittiest takes on the planet with a face not even a mother.
What did it say about
six, Bill? An alcoholic with bitch titties whose lawsuit record is longer than a CBA's receipt and said, yeah, this is it. This is the A team for a presidential nomination campaign, bro. I'm literally screaming at this. So on the left right here, we have the gay twink kombucha brewer who made a deal with Disney. That's DeSantis's Brian Griffin, one of his communications team. Obviously, in the middle, we have Miss Jenna Ellis, who's a sellout and a grifter. I've gone at it with her on Twitter because she moved to Miami, so she thinks that she can speak for Miamians now, and she wants to say that it was actually DeSantis who turned the police red. It wasn't Trump. We don't count. Who cares? You have John Cardillo, also known as John Cardildo, as her friend Roger Stone said to call him.
Yes.
So if you guys call him, you got to call him John Cardildo. This guy is actually going to be in a lot of trouble because he was selling counterfeit COVID stuff to the federal government. And he got rich off of these crazy loans. And him and his brother are actually on insane lawsuits. So stay tuned for that. You obviously have the unfortunate Lucky Malaysian who's illegal, doesn't live here. I have no idea what he's chiming in U.S. politics.
Like, how is he even allowed to comment on American politics?
He doesn't live here. He's never even been to the U.S.
You don't even go here, bro.
He doesn't even live here. He blocked me because I called him unfortunate looking and annoying. And then you have... and then you have Christina Pusha, who's his main secretary. This woman is 31 years old. We don't know why she has this many Botox. It's absolutely insane. And of course, crazy Bill Mitchell, who's always crying. he's always talking to Elon Musk, and he's like, Elon, like, my insights are wrong. Like, no one is following me. I get no engagement. I'm shadow banned. And everyone's like, have you thought about the fact that everyone just hates you? Nobody wants to interact. Have you considered that your content sucks, right?
That you're a cringe boomer, bro. Like, nobody.
So this is the dream team right here. This is what Christina Pusha was able to put together for an A1 presidential campaign. But it doesn't stop there, folks. Ron DeSantis was just recently in Iowa. And last year, when he started trying to grift his presidential campaign, there was a point where Trump supporters kept saying, this guy can't even fill up a room. Like, there's no support. So then their rebuttal was, who cares about crowds when Trump lost to, you know, fucking basement Biden? Who cares? Who cares? And people were like, all right. Then they started showing more people in the crowds, and they would take the shots with a wide angle from the back so that they could grift online and say, see, our candidate has so many people. There's so many people. But then something weird started to happen. there was a actually there was a tip that was given to the media that the PAC, Never Back Down PAC, which is Ron DeSantis's main PAC, was actually going to start driving or shipping people or whatever, busing people to his rallies so he could appear to have a lot of support. Kind of brushed it off. Could be the mainstream media. They also hate DeSantis. Well, guess what? Republicans over in Iowa are literally sending a cease and desist to the Never Back Down PAC. And they came out yesterday and said that Ron DeSantis's PAC have bussed in a bunch of people that don't even live in Iowa. Shocking. Not just that they don't live in the city, that they don't even live in Iowa. And those were the people that were bussed in to make it seem like Ron DeSantis had a bunch of support. And this is where we're at right now. So we have fake supporters on social media. We have fake people being bussed in as well. Mm-hmm. Fake polls, fake support.
Fake media.
So is Ron DeSantis really any different from Joe Biden? I know you guys are going to say that's crazy. You know, we'd rather have a Republican president than Joe Biden. Everyone's better than Joe Biden. But how desperate do you have to be? If you have real support, Donald Trump doesn't need to do any of this. People like myself have driven 2 hours, even to Orlando, to go see Trump and back. People drive, people stay overnight to see Donald Trump. When I went to the first Donald Trump rally back in 2018 in Stereo Beach, Florida, I will never forget how shocked I was. I literally thought I was walking into a concert.
It was just as
packed as going to see any huge artist that you... It was like, honestly, it reminded me of when I went to see Bad Bunny last summer. It was that packed with people selling merch outside, with TVs being featured around so that the people, the overflow, could watch the rally outside. So if you have real support, you don't have to do that. You don't have to hire buses. You don't have to hire people. And you know what else has happened that I wish you would have put in the program? So many of these big anti-woke laws that the legislator passed and DeSantis passed has gotten struck down by the Supreme Court of Florida. Almost every single one of them. The woke ad, the stuff about the transgender kids, so many laws. It's like, so let me get something straight. How is it that you guys claim that DeSantis is going to use his executive, because that's the thing that they claim. Unlike Trump, DeSantis is going to use his executive power. That's what they say.
Yeah.
To actually get things done because Trump is ineffective and right. He didn't use his power like he could have to get things done. Now, the legislature, who are supposed to be doing their job, right? If you're going to create laws, how do you create so many laws that then go all the way through a court system and a judge strikes them down because they're unconstitutional and unlawful? So a lot of these laws that they want to, that show. It was all a show.
But it's what we've been saying from the beginning.
It was all a show.
Was a perfect example of that. We're going to take away the Hyatt's liquor license. Linda got they wouldn't leave her alone. Mm-hmm. You would have thought that she would have said something about Casey DeSantis having cancer, because they were like, how dare you say that? It takes a really long time for the license to be taken away. And what he did was that he started the process and blah, 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 blah. Bruh, it's been 5 months, bro. The Hyatt has never stopped serving liquor. They've never talked about it again, because once that the PR coverage on that is over, then they just move on to the next grift. It's like, how come nobody's talking about all these insane things that he did that were so base? Now it's backfiring. We talked about it last week. There's a mom here that used his laws to report a book that she felt was inappropriate for her kids. And now she's got freaking Chris Cuomo knocking on her fucking door because she was doxxed by somebody at the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't do anything to protect it. We told you guys already, the only reason why Antifa is allowed to operate for the last 2 years is because Ron DeSantis has continued to turn a blind eye to the fact that DeSantis is attacking, that Antifa is attacking MAGA supporters.
Right.
Right. So they've turned their back. So it's like, don't say that the free state of Florida where woke comes to die when Antifa's allowed to go out there and harass constituents of South Florida.
Right.
Don't say that it's where woke goes to die, where you just wave a flyer. You're like, oh, I'm going to take the Hyatt's license away and the Hyatt continues to serve liquor. Or when you say, I'm going to get rid of Disney and it's like, then your staffer is like selling their fucking product at Disney. Like, let's be real.
How?
What have you done that's so base? What have you done that's so base that actually went through that proves that you would be an effective leader as president? But here's and I know we got a couple of other things to talk about, but here's the real kicker for me when it comes to the DeSantis bros. they will really say things like, oh, Trump supporters are masochists. They just like losing. They just like losing. So they're going to continue to stand behind the guy that's going to lose. Right. But so then what you're saying is that if we stand behind Trump, we're going to lose. So what you need us to do is drop out of supporting Trump so we could support your guy instead. But your guy can't win unless we agree to let go of Trump. So you say our guy can win the election, but you can't even win a primary against our guy. So for those of you that are asking,
they got dragged, this guy, the gay patriot, somebody else that I completely hate. And I've dragged plenty of times because here's the thing. They're also propagandists. So as an example, they'll say Trump didn't build a wall. And then you're like, well, I've been to the wall. See, I have pictures of me on the wall. Here's me in the wall, like right behind me. And there's the wall. Like, here's me and that's the wall and that's Mexico on the other side, right? Like, I'm like, this is me. And they're like, well, you know, actually, he didn't finish the wall. And I'm like, but you just said he didn't build the wall. Well, partially built the wall. So technically, he didn't build the wall. So do you see, they are really good at making, at being propagandists and basically lying about Trump's entire first term, which is what pisses off the most. It's like, why do you guys lie so much? Like, you're lying about an actual structure, a 40 feet high structure that is visible to the naked eye. And not only that, but they're pieces of shit. They're horrible people. I saw an interaction that I wish I would have posted here as well between somebody that I guess was a contractor that was building the wall. And he's going back and forth with Jeremy, who's DeSantis' press secretary. And he's saying, what are you talking about? Like, I'm one of the contractors. And as soon as Joe Biden got in, they literally made us stop and leave all of our equipment and all the, what is it called, stainless steel slats or whatever. And we just had to let go of the job. And then this guy was like, well, let me show you. I was just there. Jeremy says, I was just there. And you did a shitty job building the wall and then shows like a piece of like metal with like a hole in it. So they're like degrading shitty people who hate and despise Trump supporters because they want to go back to the old country club conservative Bush boys where you can live under the illusion that every 8 years a new president comes. Correct. Because and eight for 4 years you have a Democrat and then you have a Democrat again and then they'll let you have a Republican 8 years after that. And that's what they want to do. That's why they say return to normalcy. That's their thing.
Nate writes,
return to sanity.
Candace Owens actually said that she believes that the DeSantis and his camp resent Trump supporters and small towns Americans.
They do. They do.
Spot on. They do. Spot they on. Do. They do. I've never had a liberal talk to me
the way that the DeSantis people talk to me.
I've never had a liberal tell me go scrub toilets or you know, go back to where you came from or obsess about making commentary on our looks. You're fat, you're ugly, you got Botox, you're Photoshopped, whatever. Like, it is the most vile political, and we've been fighting Antifa for the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And it is by far the most vile political interactions that I have seen have come from DeSantis supporters. All of them, without exception, almost anonymous accounts created within the last year.
Right. They're just fucking horrible people. I hate them all. And actually this week, I don't know if you guys know who Pedro Gonzalez is. His text messages were leaked, which pretty much I always think that's pretty shitty to do, especially if you're like saying edgy, racist or anti-Semitic things, which everyone does at some point or another. But Pedro is a different story because Pedro is a vile, horrible human that has been lying about Trump, Trump supporters. He actually attacked us, even though we've never, ever talked to him or about him. So now he's being dragged on the internet for whoever exposed those text messages. People are coming to his defense, which is weird because he said a lot of horrible things about Jewish people. And as we know, I said today on Twitter, I said, why does Pedro get grace but Nick Fuentes doesn't?
Right. No.
Why does Pedro get a pass for being anti-Semitic but Nick Fuentes doesn't? What's the difference between Pedro and Nick Fuentes?
I mean, realistically,
the difference is that Pedro is in bed with all of the DeSantis. MAGA donors and the DeSantis people.
Compared to, I'll be honest with you, I saw the tweets, the messages, and
that's worse.
That's significantly worse than I'm going to go DEFCON 3 on the Jews.
Far worse than I'm going to go DEFCON 3 on the Jews. Really... And he called Candace Owens a negress.
No.
Yes, he did.
No, yeah, his own.
Well, it's that's not the and I think she meant like a princess with the N word. It's what he was trying to do. Okay. Well, he said really fucked up things.
It sounds fail. He's an ugly person, and we're not like it. Honestly, couldn't have happened to a worse person.
Right. It was actually really. I was enjoying it.
That's never like I don't think people's the personal text messages should be to the press, but whatever. Like you know, like. Live by the sword, die by the sword. Didn't he also release some other texts as well? Let's talk about you know, we all know that this is all being led by a higher power. So let's go cut into, if you guys haven't seen Ice Cube, rapper Ice Cube, has had some choice words where he says, actually, let me play this for you guys. I want you guys to listen to what Ice Cube has to say.
And some of you may not have realized that I'm not part of the club. And a lot of you listening to me right here, right now, you're not part of the club either. And what I realized with the club is what makes them so mad is when you don't want to be a part of their fucking club, that pisses them off. What club am I talking about? I'm talking about the club of gatekeepers that we all got to deal with. You know who they are, and they definitely know who they are. A lot of people would be like, what, who? Come on, man, stop playing. So ever since I put out the contract with Black America.
It's a longer video, but you guys can definitely go find it. Just, you know, if you go on one of the like the social media sites and just type in, you know, Ice Cube announcement. He basically says that he's going to be going on a podcasting tour where he's going to be exposing his experiences with members of said club. We've been talking for quite some time. I mean, everybody in kind of like our truther circles, right? We all know we've been following accounts for quite some time about how there very much is a group of powerful elite that can control a lot of things, particularly in the music industry and in Hollywood in general. So when you have testimonies like this one of Ice Cube, where he starts naming names, and saying that he's going to go on a tour, not only does it once again confirm things we've been saying, like have happened in the past, like a couple of months ago when, what was Egghead's name? Harvey?
Harvey Weinstein.
No, Harvey.
It was Kanye's personal trainer.
Harvey came out that he basically told Kanye that if he didn't start acting right, that they were going to put him back in Zombieland and that he was going to stay there forever. We've been talking about these things for quite some time. So when we see people like Ice Cube start speaking up, which, by the way, he's been somebody that's always been very verbal about this. One has to wonder, like, is he safe? Like, what's going to potentially come of him? Aside from Ice Cube, there is also Jamie Foxx also released statements where he basically states that he felt like he was pimped out by Oprah Winfrey. And he goes on to give testimony about how, what was the guy that I told you his name was?
Which guy?
The guy that I told you that Oprah invited him to, invited Jamie to his house.
I don't know.
I can't remember for the life of me what it is right now, but he's a really famous actor. Who I think he's the one that did the voice for Simba's dad. Hey, Nino. Our boy, Nino. America in the chat. The one, the only, the legend, the GOAT. The legend and the GOAT. Anyways, Jamie Foxx gives the testimony. What's the name
James,
of the...
James Earl.
James Earl. James Earl. I believe it was James Earl. I'm going to have to double check, but I believe it was James Earl Jones.
And it's Harvey Pasternak. That's what it was.
So basically, there's rumors coming out that Jamie Foxx has given commentary where he basically felt pimped out by Oprah, who invites him over to this black artist's house and basically makes very disgusting commentary about him sexually and how this... basically how he experienced this really inappropriate thing and how he feels towards Oprah, that as we know, several other people have actually made the same commentary about Oprah, given her very close relationship with Harvey Weinstein, and other women have come forward saying that they felt like Oprah had put them in these predatory type conditions. So, I mean, I guess that it almost feels like I remember in 2019, like kind of talking about these things and, you know, being called a conspiracy theorist and you're crazy and you're wild. And then now having these like big time celebrities like come.
Well, I just feel like Ice Cube is a little bit hypocritical because very recently, I think that or when Kanye was going through his rant and seeing all the anti-Semitic things and controversial, you know, Jewish conspiracies, what do you want to call it? He actually mentioned Ice Cube. Like, he mentioned him by name and basically said something like, you know what I'm talking about, or Ice Cube, you know, had something to say. And Ice Cube kind of, like, pussied out and was like, don't bring me into this, bro. Like, what are you talking about? And that was just now in November.
Yeah.
So I don't know what changed between now and then. I do know that Ice Cube actually lost a lot of money because he did not get the vaccine. That was something that he was very against. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how he lost a couple million dollars in a movie or show or something that he was like, I'm not going to do it. If I have to lose money, I got to lose money. And he didn't.
Do you think that maybe it has to do with one of those things where it's like, dude, like he's been wearing that like anti-Semitic banner wrapped around him ever since... Basically, he called, if I'm not mistaken, in the song, he's referring to the manager that signed NWA and he basically just calls him, like points out that he's Jewish in the song. And then he received his throughout his entire career. He's never gotten rid of that. Like they've always called him an anti-Semite.
And they won't because
of that one lyric.
And they won't because Jews don't forget. There's something. Sorry if you're Jewish. But there's something within the Jewish community that they just don't seem to forget. And they did it to Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson said some anti-Semitic stuff literally back in the day when The Passion of the Christ came out, which I'm pretty sure was over 15 years ago. And he apologized. He did the whole apology tour. And literally this year for Mardi Gras, Jewish groups canceled, made sure that he was canceled because he was supposed to be the main guy at Mardi Gras. There's like a name, the King of Mardi Gras. There's like a name that they do on the parade. They got him canceled. 15 years later, Mel Gibson can live a normal life because these Jewish groups want to see him ruined. And that's actually why he doesn't get any contracts in Hollywood.
That bullshit. Nobody wants to be
involved because they literally ruin your life.
Yeah. So I can totally, like, given how much attention was going on with freaking Kanye, like, Ice Cube lives his life very
I don't think
quietly.
He's, yeah.
So I can just totally see, like, bro, like, we ain't even down like that. Like, I'm not getting involved in your shit. Like, you got the whole world paying attention to you right now, and I'm not getting involved. And maybe there's, I don't know, who knows? Who knows where it is that he's going to potentially go with this? Maybe he feels like I should have spoken out about an experience that I had with a trainer that tried to put me in zombie land too.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he didn't necessarily agree with the Jewish stuff, and maybe he just feels like there's other things that he needs to start exposing.
Right.
I'm just saying, we're living in really interesting times because honestly, 4 years ago, nobody would have thought that celebrities were going to come out and start talking about this. And we've had a couple of moments like this, like when When Paris Hilton came out with her special, and she spoke about how she was, as a child, she was sent into a center that what she describes as MK Ultra, like that would put her through like psychological exercises and lock her in different rooms and rooms with lights and light therapy and shit that, you know, she couldn't run away. She did. They used to give her certain drugs. And what she's describing, you're like, holy shit. Like a couple of years ago, somebody would have called me a conspiracy theorist for saying that there was even places like this that existed. We've got Kanye and I'm going to put you in Zombieland forever, which was such a huge confirmation. Not to mention all the creepy shit that's going on with Britney Spears, which is a whole nother conversation. It just seems like there's a lot of things that maybe a couple of years would have just been brushed off. It's like, oh, you guys are just being conspiracy theorists. And now you've got these big voices making mention of it. And I guess that one.
And by the way, this extends over to the Spanish speaking people, because I've heard my mom and a couple, and like your dad probably too.
Yeah.
They talk about the stuff and the Illuminati. It's funny to have my mom talk about George Soros as well. The video is very long. For those of you who are asking, if we play, it's literally 9 minutes long.
Yeah.
But just go on Twitter and search Ice Cube or TikTok, which is the one where we got it from, or where TikTok is where we got that video from. And then you can watch the whole thing after the show.
Just so that for clarification, he basically says that he's going to continue to expose. So the video is more so a launch, if you will, to this podcast where he's going to go on exposing all of this. So I think that this is going to be a continued developing story that you're going to have to continue to check in on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you just said, it's in the Latino community too.
It's in the Latino community too. The other, we just want to laugh at this. Can you please pull the pearl?
Okay, but can we see this one again one more time?
One more time. The A-team right here. This is a squad. This is going to win elections.
Okay, well, one more time. Yes, we can pull up Miss Pearl. Miss Pearl. But actually,
What somebody said, we're gonna stop the sentence and campaign until we figure out what the fuck is going on with all these influencers. What the fuck is going on with this shit?
Guys, we just want to take a quick moment to let you know that our show is to be available with subtitles on Lativa Plus. We are so proud to be one of the first podcasts that they have brought onto Lativa. And we recorded our first special segment for them this week. So that should be going live probably in the next couple of days. It's a show will be centered around Miami politics, but you'll also be able to find this content that we put out weekly with subtitles on Lativa. So if you've got una tía, una abuelita, your mom or somebody that you think is like, man, you guys are super base. I just wish that they spoke English. Well, now you can just have them go on Lativa Plus. It is a month by month subscription, but it's going to give them access to all of the to other options outside of very liberal controlled Telemundo and Univision. And there's going to be all sorts of news, entertainment, podcast on there geared towards a Latino audience. And we are so proud to be a part of it. So please check out Lativa Plus and check us out with our special content. She's not my girl.
Wait, you put do we do
Purdy first?
Yeah, we'll do Purdy first.
Let's do Purdy. Oh, where the hell did it go?
Nacho.
No. Where did it go? Hold on, guys. I don't have it.
You don't have it?
No, I did, chill. But I
well, can you just put it in there really quickly? Well, if you guys don't know Miss Pearl, she's like the female Andrew Tate and very controversial. She's basically her entire grift. No, Nino, we haven't gotten our IG back, but Facebook is looking into it. Pearl goes by Pearly Things over on YouTube. She is one of the most popular YouTubers right now. She hosts a show called The Sit Back or The Sit Down or something like that. Basically, it's like a dating show, and her whole grift is men, incels, lonely men, single men who hate on women. and she feeds this fuel. She feeds fire to the fuel. She never takes woman's side. She hates women.
She hates women.
And, you know, if you say anything of like, you know, Pearl's crazy or this is wrong, then of course she's going to come back and say, well, you're just a feminist and you're single. And then, you know, the whole thing. Well, Pearl had a very controversial take this week. And this is what Pearl had to say on the 28th, which was, I guess, yesterday at 7 a.m. This is how she woke up. She woke up at 7 a.m. in Chicago time.
Hold on, give me a second. I'm going to pull it
You're
up.
You're going to put
now.
It up it's right
loading.
Now.
It's loading.
Well, is we, that how she woke up? We caught 7:20 a.m. Well, she's her name is Lonely Things, just Lonely Things for a reason. And here we go.
Here it is.
This is what Pearl had to say. If you're better looking in your 30s, it's because you are either fat in your 20s or you've spent a ton of money on plastic surgery. It's not natural. Now, Pearl is not, it's a very, she's not a pretty girl. She's what I would consider an unfortunate looking woman. But here's the thing. There's a lot of women who are not born natural eights or tens or what you would call the hottest women's, but they make themselves into better looking women. They do their hair, they do their makeup, they're feminine, they dress well, they smell good, they have their nails done, they're nice, they're kind, they're funny, and all of this adds up into your number. Pearl doesn't have any of them. She got very lucky, very, very lucky with the show because it's a niche. There's a bunch of men on the internet who
Someone
are pissed
says
off.
She got that Mormon look.
She does got that Mormon look. And so Pearl has it. Pearl basically hates the fact that there are women who are either in their 30s or 40s or single moms, whatever. All the women that she talks shit about who are still making it and are still getting men that she will never have access to. So when she had this tweet, one of my online friends was trying to be kind to her. I'm not that kind. And, you know, this woman that was talking back to her, she's married. She just had a child. She's pregnant with another kid, lives a beautiful oceanfront apartment here in Miami. And she was trying to be kind. And she's like, well, you know, there's like, I understand that women in their 20s, you know, look better. And, you know, in your 30s, like there's some women that can still look better, but this is just not the way this is put it. And I go, look, Brittany, let's cut to the chase. I'm just going to be honest with you. Let's be honest here. Pearl is an unfortunate looking woman who has never gotten the attention and will never get the access of hotter women, not in her 20s and not in her 30s. And that's a fact. So if you get a girl like Pearl, who's not pretty, and she's 27, and then you got a 37-year-old who looks better than her, and you don't tell them, you put them both at the club or both at the bar or a church, whatever setting, mm-hmm. whatever setting, there's not a single man that is going to turn down the 37-year-old hotter chick for Pearl simply because she's 10 years younger.
Not a single person. I've had a couple come to me on YouTube where they're like, oh, you're misrepresenting what she's saying. She's saying that women... if you compared yourself against yourself at 24, then you're hotter at that age. First of all, let me tell you, Pearl's 26 years old. So she doesn't know what it's like to be over 30. She probably doesn't have, I would imagine that she probably has friends within her own age group. I am almost 40 years old. I know a lot of women that are my age. And I was talking about this with Linda. You ask any woman, where was your dating value peak? Not when you felt most beautiful, but where was your dating value peak where you had the most suitors, the most people making you offers? And every single woman will say 30 years old. Every single woman will tell you 30 years old. At 24 years old, you're still awkward. You're still figuring things out. There's still a certain insecurity about you when you go out. This is not by any means to say that 24-year-old women are not beautiful. Youth is a beautiful gift. And
there's 19-year-old girls that are beautiful.
But there's a lot of circumstances where she's like, oh, well, it's only if you have surgery or you used to be fat that you're hotter at 30. Now, that's a damn lie, because how many girls don't you know that were extremely skinny in their 20s and didn't develop until after they had a kid in their 30s. And now they've got amazing bodies. Or how about the other caveat where it's like, well, that's not necessarily fair, because there's women that when they were in their 20s were probably a 5 or a 6. And as the people around them start aging, they're aging a lot slower. And therefore that 5 or 6 when you were 20s is now an 8 or a 9 45-year-old or a 50-year-old. There's endless examples of this. I just feel like she always has to say the most like brain dead thing, like, if you were prettier at 30 than you are at 20, it's because you used to be fat. Number one, I feel like that's a cope for her because she used to be fat. So I guess she probably lives under the delusion that it's like, oh, I'm somehow magically going to get hotter once I'm 30 if I used to be fat. I just think that it's like, dude, like if you hate women, just say that, which is pretty much what I think it is. I think that Pearl has gotten glanced over for pretty women her entire life. Her entire life has glanced over. And now this acceptance of her feeding into the delusion of the manosphere incels. Please understand, we're not talking, when I say the manosphere incels, I'm not talking about the Andrew Tates of the world, because those guys are actually maybe at a higher status and can be assholes and there's still going to be women that date them. Yeah. I'm talking about the encouragement that they give average nerds making 35K a year living in their mom's basement. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there is something wrong when you're that person and you think that you get to treat women like shit because you think you've got the same authority levels as somebody like Andrew Tate, right? So what I feel she's done is that she's grifted off this space and used it to take out her resentment against pretty women. Like, haha, all of these guys that used to turn me down for pretty women, now they're hanging out with me. Now they're my friends. Now they think that what I say is super cool. So fuck you, pretty bitches.
Yeah. And look, you know, me and Bella talk a lot, not on camera. We spend a lot of hours on the phone talking about life and content and whatnot. And one of the things that yesterday we were going to lunch, and I said, you know what? I was thinking about it the other day when I was like working. And I thought to myself, back when I was in my early 20s, I would go clubbing a lot with my friends. That's kind of like the culture here in Miami. And I remember that there was girls that were in their early 30s or late 20s at the tables, part of the dinners that the promoters would have for girls and stuff like that. And I never, not once, because I had to remember, I'm like, was I ever in the mentality like, okay, I'm 22 years old, 23 years old, and therefore I have a competitive advantage over these women because there's a 30-year-old that's 8 years older than me, and therefore the men are going to choose me? Never. I never thought that, ever. Because the reality is that if a girl's hot and she has sex appeal and the guys like her, they're going to talk to her over me. If the guy perceives that I'm less attractive or that he's less attracted to me, because sometimes it's not about that. Sometimes a guy may like a black girl better, or an Asian girl, or Latina, or white. So I'm like, dude, I was never like looking at the 30-year-old that was in shape and was hot and thought to myself, I have a competitive advantage because I'm 8 years old younger. That's just simply not the case.
Not to mention that it's like, I go back to the argument I was saying about a higher confidence level, like within your 30s, like a woman at 30 will have a higher sex appeal because she feels more confident in herself. So I was in situations like that where maybe there was a woman that was a couple of years older than me, particularly, you know, where I work, when I worked at Hooters. And then there were girls, I was telling you, I worked at Hooters when I was like 18 years old up until I was like 21. And the calendar girls, the girls that got like flown out to events, that did the bikini contests and everything, those girls were not 21 years old.
Hell no.
Those girls were not 21. They weren't 22. They weren't 23. They weren't 24.
Hell no.
Those girls were closer to the age of 30 or right above the age of 30. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just the way that it looked. You know what else it had a lot to do with? The confidence. And also because they were older, they dressed better. They had nicer things. They had designer. They had all these things. So you felt like you're in your little fucking forever 21, like trying to like, damn, like, I mean, I feel pretty, but like, damn, these girls look hot. So
I looked up pictures of me when I was 10 years ago and I was in Ibiza. Well, actually it was 9 years ago and I was in Ibiza. And that was back in the day when like we used to wear the super white, super white concealer. It was like white, like literally white concealer. And then the nude lips. And I was like, I need to go back to Ibiza now when I know how to do my makeup, because this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous.
Girl, like, I just, you don't know who you are.
No, there's a lot of things I like about myself now way more than when I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
With the exception of the energy, where I could go like 5 days going to brunch, partying, doing this in Vegas, whatever I wanted. And like, I can't do it anymore because like, I get tired. But if I, you know what I want to do on Twitter, which I'm probably going to do to be petty. I'm going to get a picture of Pearl now, and I'm going to get a picture of Claudia Sampedo, who's a mom of three or two. I think she's a mom of two. And she's for sure like my age.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Claudia, yeah.
Yeah, Claudia's my age. And I'm going to be like, all right, boys, you tell me. Ooh, you want the girl with the fat ass? Yeah. Oh, you want this fucking cooked, uncooked shrimp-looking girl?
Our girl Natalie Denise is in the comments. Damn, we got Natalie and Nino. We got Texas in the house representing out here. Our peoples, we love you guys. Natalie writes, snatch the wigs and the edges off of these pick Mishas. Hot 30-somethings, we out here. My 30s over my 20s. Any day, fam. Any day. Any woman that you talk to over the age of 35 will tell you there is a certain confidence, security, the way that you carry yourself, charisma. You're so sure of yourself. And whether or not people want to admit it, that does attract people to you. When you are that woman, when you've got that energy, that is also a very youthful energy, mm-hmm. You're going to get people that are attracted to you, and the age is irrelevant.
look at the, okay, you're reading the comment. Sorry.
Oh, which one? I was in my late 20s dating a grandmother.
No, not that 40s. One.
No, this one right here, our boy. Per usual, our boy David coming through, which has the most amazing story with his wife and always comes through with the best advice because he's not on this manosphere. This is like a true alpha sigma dude. Like, David gets it. And he writes, Pearl basically recreated the early 2000s awkward reality show drama you keep watching if you like people getting roasted, but message is mostly trash. Yeah. These people are just LARPing. Whatever podcast dude asks for labia nudes on his show after roasting OnlyFans. Girls, I didn't know about the labia
About the labia pictures. Can you DM me about that? Because I want to call him out on
Please DM us, because we actually have something really funny happened on the whatever show. Because, you know, we always got to give. And thank you so much, David, for always coming through with the huge donations, which means so much to us. Oh, guys, we do this on ourselves. The money that we bring in is all to pay for the studio and our production and to be able to give you guys more content. If it wasn't for you, we would really not be able to do this. So we're so appreciative of you guys whenever you take care of us and whenever you come in and you make your contributions and your comments and you interact with our content so we can get more views. Just very appreciative of you guys. But let's discuss a little of what's been happening on the Whatever podcast. So apparently, this week, Brian, the host of the Whatever podcast, had an entire meltdown because I guess that they invited an entire panel of OnlyFans girls that were all friends. So they all coordinated to wear like these, custom swimsuits that they had made that had their Instagram handle on it. And they made a pretty good argument, which is like, listen, those clips go viral. Everybody knows where they can find you, but nobody knows where they can find the girls that are talking to you. Yeah. Cause you don't tag. He's like, oh, well, I tagged the girls in the original video. It's like, yeah, but then somebody else gets that and they crop it out. So anyways, the girls wanted to wear these bathing suits with their Instagram handles.
We should invite them.
And Brian had a conniption, kicked him off the show, didn't host a show. He basically just sat down and did an hour-long YouTube where all he did was bitch about these women that wouldn't take him. And then,
the show was so lame. I tried to watch it, and then it was another girl there that nobody knows why that girl's there with the hat. It's like the weirdest thing. I think he's banging her, actually. I think that's his girl. He just doesn't tell
the
anybody.
The little Asian girl that just sits around doing nothing.
Yeah, I think that's who.
Does anybody know what her role is? The little Asian girl that sits next to Brian on the Whatever podcast with the hat,
a little pointy hat,
and she just like sits there and like plays retard like all day.
Yeah.
But yeah, we saw. What was it that you said that the girls had done after they doxed him?
He was crying. Do you have the tweet? No, we don't have the tweet. He was basically crying, saying something like, you know, I got the girls walked out of the show. We can't have the show with the girls. And then they're like posting her address and like my studio is actually my apartment. So if you guys know who the girls are, you know, give me their handles and give me their names. I'm going to take any legal action. We're going to take legal action against the OnlyFans host.
Brian, no, we've all been doxed. Oh, Brian, get to the back of the line. it's like the wild, wild west out here.
I was honestly, I hate to say this, but I like to see the hoes revolting.
Against
like
them?
That tweet is like, the hoes are revolting. I repeat, the hoes are revolting. That shit had to be dead.
Nate makes a good comment. He's like, let's face it, the Manosphere needs OnlyFans girls desperately.
That's why I woke up. I literally woke up and went to troll him in the comments, and I was like laughing my ass off. I love the fact that you're nobody without these OnlyFans girls. Like you wouldn't have a show. No one's gonna sit there and watch you, lame as fuck, talk about girls without getting these viral clips. Nobody. And why? Because
they talk about all that. Because then they'll say something along the lines like, "Oh well, I'm doing you a favor, inviting you on my platform, and I've got the followers, and I've got bro. If you don't shut the fuck up, you wouldn't have a show without the revolving door. Which goes back to the comment that I always say, which Pro loves to say, like, "Oh well, that's not true. Women are the prize." Right. It's not because I said so. It's because men, even men like Brian, that seemingly hate most women, make it the case. Why? Because you can't have a show without a panel of pretty women. Nobody wants to listen to you, your Asian girlfriend, and the other conservative dude that you brought on rant about things. It's the reality. Right. Maybe if we had more OnlyFans girls show up, then maybe our channel would be even bigger, because women are the commodity. That's why women strip clubs, like when you go to strip clubs, the men, when you think of like the big strip clubs, they're a lot more successful than like the ones that women go to. There's not a lot of them. Why? Because women are, again, the commodity. Men want to flex women the same way you flex a Rolex or you flex a Bugatti. You're also going to flex a hot chick that you have on your arm. And that's never going to change. It's been the case from the beginning of time. It doesn't matter how much counterculture it is that the
same thing with the hoes, right? Hoes have been around from the beginning of time. Prostitution's the oldest profession. You're not going to take that away now or never. It was going on like during Jesus's time. I mean, seriously, like 2000 years ago, and after that, and during the Greek times, and then the Roman era, and always, you know, this like now.
I talked about it too on the community. If you guys don't follow our YouTube channel for the community, you're really missing out, because we go in. But I talked about it on the community where it's like, bro, you see it in the fucking animal kingdom. Like,
oh, talk about it. The peacocks
with other men. The peacocks put on shows for their women. Penguins get little pebbles for their penguin partner.
Like, remember the other day I was telling you, I was watching I think like two little, when I was on the phone with you, I was like, oh look, the Manosphere would totally talk about this bird being a simp, because like the bird was like like flexing so hard, and the girl bird was like not having it, and he was like trying so hard to get laid.
Or the lizards when they pull out their little thing to like attract the girls, like. Dude, it's just encoded into our DNA. Yeah. Women are the prize. I'm not saying that not landing a good man isn't a prize in itself. But if we're talking about society, like what you're trying to do, the shift that the Manosphere is trying to create, where, women aren't the prize, men are the prize. Yeah. You're like, it's just that's fucking retarded. No, that's not the case. That's why there's wars that have been started over fucking women and love. Like, it's not... It's not what you played. I want to give a couple of shout outs. John, who came through, and he says, I'll give Brian pics, dad bod pics. Thanks, John. And then our friend Fairy Prince is coming through with a super sticker. Thank you so much for supporting our channel. People asking us again, y'all are kidding it, but in all seriousness, when are you going on Fresh and Fit? You guys know that, what's the name of the tranny girl, the one that went on whatever.
Warlord.
The one that was like, I'm a bad bitch or whatever. Yes, and she's
that's
like,
that's Warlord, no?
Bro,
they call her Warlord?
Is it Warlord? I don't know what her name is right now. If you guys know her name, here's the thing. I saw her the other day, and she was doing a live with Sneeko and Aiden. Is this the kid's
Aiden
name?
Aiden Ross,
And Aiden Ross. So she's doing a live with them. And Sneeko's already like trying to get in with the things. And when I tell you guys, she started the thing and she's like, where's my money? Where's my money? Where's my money?
Yeah.
And they start talking to her. Basically, this bitch made Aiden send her a $2,500 payment just to be able to sit on a live with them. And she says that whatever podcast paid her $4,000 to go sit on their panels.
Look, there it is. Warlord the Destroyer.
Warlord the Destroyer. Gorlock. Well, I mean, look, here's the thing that's super fucking base. I don't know if we'd ever go on Fresh and Fit, and I'll tell you why. Not that we would have an issue debating, and who knows, we're all in Miami, so maybe the opportunity to debate one another would come up in due time. But I do have a problem with what seems that whenever they're losing an argument, they're very quick to kind of take on that role like, oh, well, this is my podcast and I make the rules and what I say goes and you need to get out and I'm doing you a favor. I'm giving you the clout. And I don't feel like putting myself in that situation where I have some guy that I really don't have a lot of respect for trying to like own me because I went on his podcast to have an honest debate with him and he can't handle the honesty of a debate. So he needs to like pump his chest in some form of superiority. If there was something in good faith, I don't know, maybe like the valuetainment stuff, like I might go to like something like that and have a debate. Yeah. So who knows, it'll come, but we don't feel very keen about being in their space. If you catch our drift. Thank you, Stacy, so much, my dear. I wasn't sure if you were here today.
Fresh is a very unfortunate looking man. So, and he's not at the NBA status with money. So there's no way he's getting money because he's just not. That has to be a lie. But thank you, Stacy.
Well, he says that he's had like you know, that he's like involved in like real estate or whatever. Like, listen, I'm not saying he's probably making good money. That could be the case, but it doesn't justify the fact that you're an asshole and that you're still in women's DMs practically begging for
USI. There's no way that he's getting the baddest women because they're not about spending money like that to women because they need to be the ones that are invested. The women need to invest in them. So if you wanted to get a baddie that likes to go and have a $1,000 steak, a poppy steak, he's not getting those girls. He may be getting like, I don't know, college students or something. I don't know. But Stacy, I promise you I'm going to keep trolling the unfortunate looking on Twitter because it's what I have to do. It's just my role.
She's going to have to do it until I get back on because, you know, the war goes on, guys. Whether or not I'm not on any platform, for those of you asking, no, I am not on Instagram. No, I am not on Twitter. I wasn't ever on Instagram. Unfortunately, our intern connected our Facebook account with my account. And then Antifa was like, oh, Bella's running the account. And they took it down. But whatever. We're talking to Facebook now.
We're working on it.
Hopefully, you know, if we don't get the account back, we'll be able to create another account. But something's going to come of it. But you guys can hear me talk my shit on Telegram, you know, at Red Pill Baby and on True Social. But Linda's really holding it down on Twitter and on her Instagram page for the time being, because that's all we have. Guys, we're coming to the end of our show. But please, if you haven't liked, like, if you haven't subscribed, then what are you even doing? Please check out our sponsors. Remember, Century H2O, who believes in us so strongly, a great product for you and your family. If you're already investing into your health and how you can kind of disconnect from the matrix, your water is such is the most important life source. And you want to be able to get clean water. And this is a great system owned by Patriot. So please check out Century H2O and use code MPL10 for a little money off. And then check out our new sponsors. Like I said, if you have a family member that watches a lot of Telemundo and a lot of Univision and you want to get that brainwashing under control, then please check out our sponsors at Lativa, Lativa Plus, where you can find this episode and other episodes in Spanish, as well as our original content for Lativa Plus. You have anything else to add for...
No, that's all, guys. Follow us on Twitter, and that's it. We will see you next time.
See you guys next week.